Just a brief word of introduction for our wonderful speaker today. Emily Edney. Lots of us know her as a local activist. She had a long life as a man before her transition. In what year was that, Emily, when you made the transition? 2005. She had worked for something like 35 years in the Ada County Highway District in the testosterone-charged environment of engineering and construction. She made the transition and worked for another year in the Highway District and then retired. And Emily has been a friend of our church for a long, long time. A lot of us know her both from here, from visits, and also as a community activist. And we are honored and very happy to have you here this morning, Emily.
Another day, Transgender Day of Remembrance, is upon us. Today we gather across all of our differences, creating the safe space to pause and to memorialize the loss we all suffer. Because those who lost their lives to anti-transgender hatred and prejudice are no longer sharing their gifts, their laughter, their struggles, their work, and their lives in our world. The murder of a single transgender person is an act of terrorism that is meant to instill fear in a whole community. We transgender people are a diverse community. For me, transgender is a term of social identity in the most inclusive context: masculine, feminine, nonconforming, cross-dresser, bi-gender, dual gender, gender queer, gender surfer, androgynous, transsexual, trans man, trans woman, pre-op, post-op, non-op, never-op. We all transcend the bounds of our assigned birth sex. We are all subject to prejudice. We are all at risk. We are all honored here today. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for being here for us. Thank you for remembering who we have lost. I ask that you also remember and honor our sisters and brothers lost to suicide. Some instruments of death are easily recognized: the blade of a knife, the barrel of a gun, the clench of a fist. But there are other weapons far more subtle, but no less deadly. To inflict undeserved shame and guilt upon someone already at risk from undeserved shame and guilt is to discard a human life. And we've lost far too many wonderful people who are shamed to death because their gender identities or expression differ from the demands of others. Perhaps someday human beings who transcend the bounds of assigned birth sex will no longer be hated, hunted, and murdered because they are different. Until then, I often feel defeated and helpless in the face of prejudice behind these crimes. I feel anger and outrage at this violence against us. And I feel grief at such senseless waste of human life, of unique, special people who live their truth with nothing to be ashamed of. But today I feel surrounded by a community. I feel comforted by your presence. Attending a Transgender Day of Remembrance vigil can be a life-changing thing. If you ever have the opportunity to hug a mother who has just lost a son or daughter to violent murder simply because they were being themselves, it will become personal to you too. If you truly listen to the stories of the victims as they are read each year, and you realize that each was alive, each had hopes and dreams, and that were brutally taken from them, it will change you. If you think about how that name being read next year could be you, or a friend, or a family member, it will change you. My name is Emily Jackson Edney, and I am the T in the LGBTQQIA alphabet soup. So I speak compellingly from inside the experience and not as a passionate observer. Just like each of you, I'm a complex individual who loves life and yearns to share in all that it has to offer. I'm a human being, very much like everyone else. I have spiritual, emotional, and physical needs and concerns, just like everyone else. I laugh and cry, I eat and drink, and fall in love and go to work and pay bills and have families and strengths and weaknesses, just like everyone else. And I deserve to live my life and be treated with dignity and respect and acceptance, just like everyone else. The thing that makes me unique is that I'm a woman of transsexual history. And I only use this particular term in this type of setting so that you understand my journey and my history. I identify as a woman. My path to self-acceptance helped me to understand that to be transsexual is in no way to acknowledge any level of sickness, mental illness, moral weakness, perversion, confusion, selfishness, or any other stereotypical foolishness associated to my situation. In fact, it's not the situation at all that's a problem. It's just part of the tapestry of the human condition, and is only scary or threatening in relation to the insecurities and fears that other people possess. The problem is how others perceive it and subsequently react to it. People are often afraid of what they don't understand. Ignorance can lead to fear, fear to anger, anger to various forms of oppression, and of course, violence and murder. And gender variant people must continually deal with the cultural assumption that they are somehow intrinsically flawed or disordered. And demonstrating gender traits or identities that challenge expectations inevitably invokes the reaction that something is wrong with them. Most people are not equipped and are uninformed about how to deal with somebody who is differently gendered. They have little or no accurate knowledge about the lives and the needs of transgender individuals, and they just don't know what to do with us. Transgender people are among the groups that are told by society and its institutions, "We wish you were invisible. We don't accept you. We wish you would simply go away, and we pretend that you don't exist. We will ostracize and marginalize you. We will deny you any rights because you are different. And we hate you." Now, no one is born hating or believing that we should be murdered or denied equal rights. Such hatred and bigotry, it's learned. And it's learned in families that don't accept their own children if they're different from the norm. It's learned in right-wing literalist churches where ministers preach abomination from their pulpits, or in schools where teachers and administrators do not protect transgender kids from bullying and harassment. And it's learned from our political leaders who support blatant discrimination against us, but whose leadership fails them when it's time to speak out and take action on behalf of our equality and our humanity. So all of these behavior suggests that transgender people are fair game for bigotry and hatred. They encourage impressionable young people to fear and hate not only themselves, but others. And too often this hatred takes the form of violence, and innocent young people end up dead. And there is nothing pro-family about that. On October of 2009, I awoke to the expectation of a day like any other, confident that I was probably safe in a place like Boise. The cold wind caught my hair as I scrambled to the car so that I could make a scheduled meeting on time. The usual chatter that comes from the radio, the traffic signals that seemed to endlessly be red in my commute, it was filled with the usual grumbles. The previous day was different, however. Different between the rational analytic part of my brain and the emotional centers. That day around midday, someone 2,400 miles away decided that they would pick up a pen and scrawl a name on a piece of paper. Someone 2,400 miles away decided that they would have compassion on me without ever knowing who I am. Someone 2,400 miles away decided that I was human and worthy of value that it implies. That someone 2,400 miles away exemplifies the principles of the words spoken by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and he said, "Cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right?" And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular. But one must take it because it is right. And in every civil rights struggle, there is a basic threshold that must be reached. The threshold is an idea that a group is more than an object to be laughed at and disposed of, or to be used and dismissed, or negotiated away to advance another group, or that the group deserves the basic right of life. The Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act does more than just add some additional penalty to the sentencing of a criminal trial or add a few extra dollars for crime prevention. It sends a message saying, think twice before you kill me, because 2,400 miles away is enough to someone that had enough to recognize me. I'm not invisible. I will not disappear when you throw me away. I am not a disposable doll that you can break without someone taking notice. I am not worthless, and I will be missed. Think twice when you hit me, saying out loud, it's not like it was a school teacher or some upstanding citizen. Think twice before you hit me again, calling me names and laughing to your friends. I am human. At least to one person with a pen 2,400 miles away, and to those who did the hard work that got that piece of paper to that desk. People have shown they can care. It makes you realize why ordinary people simply trying to live their lives become passionate activists. Because someone needs to speak out for these victims. Someone needs to keep their memories alive. Someone needs to make sure the future generations of us do not face these same horrifying realities. There is no room in this world for hate. So speaking up, speaking out, does more than simply honor the memory of those that have been killed, simply for being their true selves. It saves lives. So I cherish that day in 2009 because today I am human. In the eyes of federal law, for the first time, a recognized minority worthy of protections, long denied, and I celebrate that. For the first time, however, I was not cast aside, and for that I should be grateful. I am one of the thousands of fellow humans who now have a chance because they are no longer disposable and easily forgotten by a government that has callously turned a blind eye to our very existence in the past. Now that I am human, perhaps others will listen when I tell them that I too have basic human needs just like everyone else. And the hope that 2,400 miles away, someone with a pen put to paper might say that I am worthy of having my livelihood protected, serving my country with honor in the military, marrying the person I love regardless of their sex, or to be guaranteed comprehensive health insurance regardless of how I identify. It is said that the one event where the transgender community and their allies come together each year is about death and mourning. However, it's also a time to celebrate. It's an opportunity to recognize the resiliency of the human spirit, a flame that refuses to be dimmed by those who seek to extinguish it through violence, hate, and ignorance. It's a celebration of courage and of authenticity and of love. It is that spirit that the solemn reason that we come together to share our grief often provides a strangely uplifting experience. The Transgender Day of Remembrance occurs each year on November 20th, and this is the 12th anniversary of that celebration. And it's to commemorate the murder of transgender woman Rita Hester in Boston, Massachusetts. In November of 1998, Rita Hester answered a knock at her door. Instead of a friend, however, the person at the door was an assailant who forced entry into her apartment and stabbed her over 20 times. Her murder and the murders of other trans-identified men and women from as early as 1970 is the impetus to remember our dead and hold candlelight vigils. Rita Hester's brutal murder from being stabbed multiple times, like most transgender murders, has yet to be solved. Rita's death that night proved to be the event that focused the attention of transgender people and their allies everywhere on the terrible violence often inflicted on transgender people. And the high rate of transgender murders worldwide and the extremely high rate of socialized antipathy towards those that are gender variant is very disturbing. And it is more than tragic that we continue to have no lack of victims to honor. Equality Europe's Trans Murder Monitoring Project reports that between January 1st and September 30th of this year, that's 9 months, 116 identified brothers and sisters in this world have been murdered, 7 domestically, and 109 internationally. That is one murder every other day. And the disturbing thing about this number is that worldwide these totals of trans-identified murders have increased steadily from year to year. And since January 1st, 2008, there have been 681 cases of reported killings of transgender people in 50 countries. Yet we know even these high numbers are only a fraction of the real figures. The truth is much worse. The Transgender Day of Remembrance is a time to stand up against this violence and say, no more.